With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
This is October's very own, the only podcast that we know of that talks exclusively about Drake. This is Dan Ozzie from Noisy, and next to me is Noisy's editor-in-chief, Eric Sunderman.
Hello.
How are you? Mental health check. We've been doing this for a few hours now. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good. Yeah. I'm happy to be back in the Drake chamber.
The Drake cave?
Yeah, the Drake cave. Here we are talking about this man, the sixth god.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you dreaming about Drake?
Not yet, but okay. I imagine we'll get there.
Okay, I am, but I was before we started the podcast.
Right. Yeah.
He just holds me.
Mm-hmm. He holds me.
And then I wake up alone and I get very sad.
That sounds good. But sounds like really healthy. Yeah. It sounds like you don't have any deep-seated issues or anything going on.
Maybe they will come out over the next month. But yeah, every episode that we do where we keep our brains intact, to me, is a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And
today we're dragging yet another guest into our Drake month of misery. With us on this episode is Rembert Brown, whose writing you may know from New York Magazine and Grantland, RIP. And he also has written one of my favorite things on the internet. If you're listening, pause this and immediately look this up. He took one photo of Nicki Minaj with some bar mitzvah boys and expanded on just this one photo for a good 3,000 to 4,000 words.
I think it was about 6,000 words.
About 6,000 words. It's a lesson to aspiring journalists out there that music writing can be anything.
Yeah,
you can really analyze a photo for 6,000 words. It's hilarious.
You can just do it.
I feel like I read it once a month.
Shout out to the Hell Yeah Fucking Right video, which is about Drake's apartment. This is called a segue. That's what I just did.
Thank you.
So, so you've, in addition to Nicki Minaj and Bar Mitzvah Boys, you've written about Drake quite a bit. And I've noticed that you have written about Drake critically sometimes. I saw earlier this year you wrote something for Vulture called Discussion Over, Nelly Was Bigger Than Drake. When you write like that about Drake, what's the reaction like? Do Drake fans come after you? Are they as like angry as the Swifties and the Beehive?
You know, I don't really know what a diehard Drake fan looks like in person. Because at some point, there was a point where, a sad point, when I think Eric was like physically close to me during this point in my life, like mid-20s, going to shows every day, every evening, where like I was getting a lot of my emotional cues from Drake songs. I was like, oh, this is what a cool 25-year-old does. He was born 86. I was born 87. I should probably step it up a little bit. He wasn't the best person always to be trying to kind of getting your adult manhood cues from. I departed from that. So I don't really know what, like right now, 2017, what a diehard Drake fan. Did they grow up with him? Or in my mind, they're all still 24.
Yeah, just a perpetually young fan base.
Yeah.
Like perpetually mid-20s.
It's like, So I don't, for me, it's always easy to be both like applaud and be critical of someone who is literally the same age as you.
Yeah,
I have zero fear in my heart for Drake, of Drake and anyone who is in his camp that loves him. Like, it just doesn't matter. It's like you're literally just like someone that I could have grown up with.
Right.
So
that's why I feel so safe to just like poke fun at him. We can have this podcast.
That's why we're doing this.
But also give him credit every now and then.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Now and then. So
I mean, he's maybe the biggest artist in the world. Is that maybe like he's up there? He's in the conversation.
What about Michael Jackson?
Well, I don't even want to.
Okay, wait. I don't mean to. So Michael Jackson died.
He died?
I'm so sorry. This is a dark time.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, this is.
Oh,
Drake.
I see what we're doing.
Drake, cannot. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this. Drake the performer.
Drake the performer is it? Well, Drake the performer is a great place to analyze this a little bit. So the subject today, I guess, that we're going to be addressing is the evolution of Drake's corniness.
Yes.
Which is something that is often discussed in the context around Drake, because there are so many different kinds of Drake. There are so many different perceptions of him. Soft Drake, like party Drake, hard Drake, whatever. Hard Drake.
Swole Drake.
Yeah, swole Drake. Love hard Drake.
It sounds like Mike's like, Hard Lemonade. Like
boner Drake.
Yeah. I'm here for boner Drake. But I think this is an interesting place to look at it, because
it's too late to change the title of the headline, title of the podcast, to Boner Drake.
Boner Drake. We're in the Drake zone and now in the bone zone. but I think, you know, if we're thinking about Drake's corniness, I feel you. We're the same age, and so that means we're the same age as Drake. And I feel like I've always viewed him as a peer, as fucked up as that sounds.
I've said it out loud and written it before. It never gets any better. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I know why we're doing this podcast about corniness, because we're both corny as hell.
So corny. Like, I definitely have listened to Drake songs to motivate myself, like on the way to work, you know, like getting fucking hyped for the day, and I'm just like gonna take it on. And,
I love this idea of, like, you know in that office scene where Dwight Schrute goes into his car, closes the windows, and just like rocks out. You
That's
know?
Me every That's day you. With Know Yourself. Uh-huh. And, but then it's also, there's the flip side where I can get intimate and like reflective and like
Sometimes I pretend that everyone on the L train is the choir from Lord Knows, and I am the star. And if I lift my arms, everyone on this train is going to just sing together. Yeah. It doesn't get any easier to admit these things. This is like therapy.
It truly is. And I think this is why Drake is such a fascinating thing to talk about, because it's really, you know, just a vehicle to talk about ourselves. but I think Drake the performer is a good place to start when we think about Drake's corniness, because something that I've always thought about. So I've seen Drake a handful of times. One time I went to see him alone in New Jersey.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Prudential Center?
Yeah, the Newark? Prudential yeah. Center.
I was not there, but I knew.
Alone. It was a Nothing Was the Same tour. It was fucked up. But that what I noticed, I think it was then when I noticed it, is Drake does this thing on stage that's like the like leaping thing, like this like bat, like he like bounds across and he like throws his arms back, like and like sticks his chest out and like tries to look so fucking cool, but he looks like such a cornball. But then this is like the eternal conundrum of Drake. I'm like cheering really hard, like yeah, like I feel it too, you know, like yeah.
It's like you're watching. It's like you're watching someone, like watching like Gabby Douglas do floor exercise or something. It's like is the floor trampolined? Like why isn't he just?
Why is he jumping so high?
And he's also he's also always he's always looking like more north than he ever should. Like there's never like he's looking like he should be looking like 30 degrees, but he's always looking like 60 degrees.
It's like a little too high.
It's too high, and it doesn't make any sense. And, but again, in my head, I'm like, where? What is he looking at? But I'm screaming.
You're like, I've been running through the thing with my love. Like, I feel you. It's fucked up. And
I thought it would take way more episodes of this podcast to start criticizing the angle at which he looks. I thought that would be towards the end, scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I think about that all the time.
Well, it's just like Drake is. I think what's he doing? You know, like, what is he always doing? Like, what is he trying to, why is he sticking his chest out? Like, what's he always thinking about?
Who told him it was cool?
Yeah.
I've always, think about this. Like, the clothes that I still own, that I wear, it's because at one point in my life, someone gave me a compliment.
Right.
And it then became part of my permanent wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not cool. I've gotten some validation that this is cool. Someone at some point was like, Drake, 60 degrees. And he was like, done. What? I want to know who is flooding his mind.
Here's what I think. Like, just from observing Drake, he seems like the type of kid, because he's about us my age too. Yeah. And like, he seems like the kid who, when you were in 7th grade, 8th grade, nobody really liked. I mean, nobody, like, kind of teased him because he was kind of corny. But at his house, he had, like, all the best video games. And he had, like, a basketball hoop in his house, like, a really nice
one.
So
you had to hang out with him?
So you, like, had to hang out at Drake's house. And, like, his mom had the best snacks. It was really cool to be there. But, like, really, you wouldn't have hung out with him unless he had, like, the newest NBA Jam in Mortal Kombat.
Like, you would have had a sleepover at his house. Especially if he wasn't in town.
I don't know about
that. You're like, yo, like, his mom's got all the Capri Sun. Like, we don't know where Audrey, like, oh, like.
He's definitely a Capri Sun and Airheads.
Aubrey went to sleep early.
Yeah.
Let's keep hanging out.
But, like, when he went to sleep, you would dunk his hand in the warm
water. Oh, 100%.
But so I think that he was surrounded by a group of people that he grew up with who pre-yes men. Like, the kids just kind of, like, putting up with him because, like, then they could play at his house with all his video games, and, like, he probably had, like, a ping pong table in his house and stuff like that. So I think, like, a lot of people just, like, pretended that they were friendly with him growing up. And maybe that's where that bravado comes from.
Yeah.
He bought his bravado.
He invited everyone in school to his bar mitzvah.
100%.
Like, every single person went. Like, and it was probably dope.
Because you got a cool take home.
Shit.
But no one went to the service. No one went to go hear him chant at all. Like, everyone went straight to the party.
Yeah.
No gifts. No one gave him a gift.
Nobody. And this is why I think it's Drake's always had this chip on his shoulder. Because of this, I think, like, he just feels like he needs to prove himself in some way.
Hard Drake.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and it's like there was that he hosted SNL last year, and there was that good bit where he was like formulating like beef songs in his head, like based on like someone would like bump into him in the hallway, and he would like lean back, and like there'd be a monologue, and he'd be like rapping extremely hard, like insulting them. And I think that Drake is like that has been driving him, like his frustration with the fact that he's just kind of a spoiled upper middle class kid has like made him just try to be as fucking like, I'm really cool. Yeah. Can you just please recognize how cool I am?
If we should all just be like, okay, Drake, you're cool.
Yeah, right. You're cool.
Like,
but even if you said that, he'd be like, yeah, I know, but I'm cool. And you're like,
okay. And now I'm like, okay, I take it back. You are not cool.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's definitely like had those tantrums hanging out with friends where he's just like, where everybody's had to be like, okay, sorry, man, I didn't.
Like, there's definitely a group text that he's on, and then a second one with all the same people, but he's not
just
on it.
Just like clowning him.
They're just like, oh my God.
He sent that emoji again, dude.
Drake has definitely got the text that's a screenshot of a text that he sent that they sent to him by accident. That was like, yo, look what Aubrey just sent. Oh shit. And then you're just like.
And that's what back to back is really.
Yeah. Okay. So Drake's corniness, as you two are clearly like Drake scholars, I'm just trying to learn here. I'm learning the things that make Drake corny, his weird jump thing, his chest forward jump thing, his gaze towards up, more up than
more
it should
up
be.
Than normal.
What else is like? What about his like lyrics or his songs? Is
well, I think
how
this,
does that come across?
I mean, it comes. I think it comes into you know soft Drake, right? That's soft Drake, and like this discussion of like is Drake? I mean, we had a whole episode about this. We're gonna go down this path again, but like. Is he real hip-hop or is he, like, that whole realm of, like, respect within the genre. And so Drake's corniness is just because he's, like, kind of this guy who's just trying to prove himself in this genre.
I love soft Drake and because for me it's more inner monologue Drake in his lyrics where he'll just, like, be super... Like Drake would be a good feature writer. He does good color in the room. Like when he describes like the oysters and like the fork set, the silverware, and like the
I'm
like
gray walls.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, why? What are you? You're telling us things that no one asked for.
Over but, like the
yeah. Like over ambient like rain sticks. Yeah. But I love. Well, I think you even have to go back. Like this, the fact that the. Like from song to song, you didn't know if you were gonna get rapping Drake or crooner Drake.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And sometimes it would be appropriate, but sometimes he would be like super aggressive in moments that called for like calm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, like chill, man. Like come on, man. Like not like we're all this is fine. But I have a grand appreciation for introspective Drake, like the aggro, like don't come to Toronto unless you like bow down to my feet. 21 gun salute Drake. It's the Drake that I like. I don't just get off the bandwagon. I like dive with ankle weights like into the ocean and kill my like. I can't. I have a zero tolerance for. Like violent Drake.
Yeah. You just can't buy it.
I can't.
It's really hard, but it works.
When a guy busts out a lint roller, it's really hard to take him.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Threateningly.
But he's like aware of how he looks doing that too. Which I
also feel like, just as someone that's learning.
Sure. A novice, a Drake noob.
I feel like something that people don't talk about enough is. Sometimes his moods are seasonal. I feel like...
He's like Starbucks flavors.
Like, I feel like in the winter, he goes to Toronto and wears like the big down coat, which make him seem big. And he gets like real... He gets hard when he goes to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Like, and like the cold weather brings out like evil Drake.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just like, like scowling.
Staying with my dogs.
Yeah, it's just like outside. It's like, yeah, like... Why are y'all standing outside? Just go inside.
Just go inside.
But like,
inside
nah, it's Toronto. Like, we love the cold.
Put a fire on.
Like, we're like on the other side of the wall. We're White Walkers. Like, I'm Drake. Like, I'm hard. I don't get cold. Like,
Drake is the Night King.
Like, man's not cold. Like, that's Drake. But then, like, in the summertime, he's just like, like he's happy again. And yeah, he's just like trying to, you know, make world music.
Yeah.
Music for every country.
More life.
More fucking life. So I love mean, it.
Do you think, how corny is Drake now versus like 5 years ago?
So, God. I think Drake has gotten more corny.
Yeah.
But I think he knows what he's doing. Like, yeah. I think he's in complete control of his brand. Like, one of my favorite Drake moments was when he hosted the ESPYs. And he was doing all these skits with Blake Griffin. And, like, it was, I thought he was even funnier on that than he was on SNL. He was just, like, him and Blake Griffin were, like, making fun of each other as, like, two ethically ambiguous people. And it was very funny. And he was making fun of himself. And, like, he, like, came out and sang a song about, like, side chicks or something. Like, I was like, okay. Like, he understands that he wants to be appealing to everyone. But, like, anyone that's trying to be universally anything is kind of corny.
Right.
Just like inherently. Like everyone. Like, inherently, in order to appeal to everyone, you have to just, like, accept the fact that, like, you're going to have, like, these corny-ass moments. So, like, I'm fine with Drake. Like, Drake's corny the same way, like, a 30-year-old is like, yo, I'm trying to, like, yeah, I'll do that because, like, I want to make sure I'm getting, like, benefits and healthcare. Like, I don't want to live in like a trap house forever. I want to live like, I want an elevator in my building. Yeah. I don't want an 8-foot walk up. Yeah, like, you're corny because you're just thinking about what matters.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't corny, I would kind of be a little worried. Like Jay, like, you remember when Jay got corny?
Everyone was like dad corny.
Yeah, everyone was like, damn, like, Jay's dad corny. It's like, yeah, because Jay's a dad.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be corny.
You think he's going to update his line about 140 characters in these streets now that we got 280 characters?
I don't know. I mean, as you know, as someone that has 280 characters right
now. Wow, brag about it. By the time this airs, probably everybody will have it.
You asked me if I needed to plug anything. The only thing I want to plug is that I have 280 characters.
Well, so what do you think? So Jay-Z is like 40, right? 43
he's like
or
48, right?
Jay-Z,
he's 79.
Jay was born
180 years old.
I think Jay
old.
Was born in the
he's
30s.
700 years old.
Jay's like
he was born in the 19. Yeah, he's
Jay was
he's
born after
47 years old. He lives in a post moon landing world. So we think that the government tells us.
Was Jay born in
December 60s? December 4th, 1969.
That's
Jesus.
Extremely nice.
So
wow.
So he's 47. So he's hit Drake. He's hit like dad corny level, like galaxy brain panel. But where is Drake gonna be when he's 47? Do you think he will have children by then?
I think he'll have kids. I think he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be making music anymore. If it's in Drake's best interest, I think that he doesn't make music when he's 40.
Do you think he's going to start like transitioning to
he's
acting
gonna be,
or
he's
producing?
He's
going to
be
or?
Vegas.
I have this theory too. I'm so happy you said this.
Yes.
I am here for Vegas residency Drake.
Because you know who will be at those shows? Us.
Yep.
It's like, oh.
Taking your kids. Oh. You guys going to watch and appreciate this.
Like, sit here.
Sweetie, what
you're
do you want to do for our anniversary? Let's go see Drake in Vegas.
He's going to do Hotline Bling.
Yes. He's going to talk about his woes. We're his woes.
Like, I want to do, I want, I like,
back
I'm
in my day,
apologist.
Children, we had 140 characters on Twitter. That's what this song is about.
Oh, my God.
But you know, he's got that, like, that I'm a views apologist, and the reason is because the songs on there that are like Feel No Ways, that are like, kind of like lounge singer Drake, like I fucking love those songs.
It's like cabana it's music. Like, it's,
so that's going to be him. He's Tom Jones.
He's Tom Jones.
Tom Jones from the Six.
From the Six.
Yeah.
The Six God in Vegas, 40 nights.
He's making perfect, like, I remember when Hold On, We're Going Home. Yeah. The long ass title it's called. I remember when that came out, like the first year that I was going to like a shit ton of weddings, and I heard that song hit at a wedding, and like everyone was like two stepping. I was like, oh,
this is it.
this is it. Like,
this is his future.
This is like timeless music. Like, you can play, oh God, yeah. like the way You Move by Big Boy is like that song.
Could have been written.
The 800th best Outkast song and may outlive time. Yeah. Like, may outlive ears. Like, yeah. that is a song that will be nostalgic and, like, can the more our hips start to break down, like, we can still.
I wish that the listeners could see us because we're kind of dancing.
Like, you guys are going to be dancing, and it's going to be the type of thing at a wedding where you're just like, oh, look, Grandpa's dancing.
The best part about Drake, though, is that I can track my own evolution as a writer based off of the way I've talked about him. Like, I can just, like, openly admit that I am, like, I said this to you earlier, Dan. It's like, my corniness is running parallel to his. And if it wasn't, like, something would, like, years ago, I was trying to be 25 forever, as was he. Sometimes I think he slips back into wanting to be 25. Guess who else does that? I do. You know? So
what you hate about people is what you see yourself reflected in them. And I think that's what we got a big case of right here.
Absolutely. I mean, and I will say that this is like, you are a perfect Drake listener and Drake fan, because the fact that your favorite thing about Drake is something about yourself is like, it's so perfect. Because I feel the same way.
Well, that's our time for this episode, believe it or not. I wanted to just thank Rembert Brown for being on. You're at Rembert on Twitter.
At Rembert.
Not even Brown.
You got in early.
So you have you get the short handle and the long tweets.
Long
you got
tweets,
it all.
Short handle, unverified. Shout out.
Ooh, that's a
unverified.
Trade-off.
Wow, damn.
You get the 280, but you're
unverified. That's kind of sick, though. It's like punk.
It's the last non-corny thing about me.
It's the last true expression of punk.
Yeah, once I get verified, that's when I put out my my hold on, we're going home. That's when I do it. I give in.
Well, this has been at Rembert, at Eric Sundy, at Dan Ozzie, and this is October's Very Own, the podcast about Drake. Thanks for listening.